This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
What really happened with your host, Mike Rivero? You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It is Thursday, March 7th, 2019. Sure happy it's Thursday. We've got lots to talk about today here, and the phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. Mike is in our control room, ready to answer the phone, put you on the air with your comments, questions, opinions, points of view, whatever you might want to talk about here. So let's get on into it, and we're going to start, as we often do, with the war zones, emphasis on the plural here. A couple of days ago, Al-Qaeda launched a strike at the Syrian Arab Army, and yesterday, the Syrian Arab Army delivered a massive rocket strike on the positions of the Turkestan Islamic Party in Jisr al-Shugur in the northwestern part of Idlib province. This is the first strike in this area for like 5 months, and the strike was in response to the recent increase in shelling of government-held areas in northwestern Hama, which has been causing civilian casualties on a regular basis. Separately, the Syrian Arab Army carried out a rocket strike on the headquarters of Jaish al-Izza near the town of Khan Sakun in southern Idlib, and the headquarters were totally destroyed. Seven militants, including the group's field commander, Majid al-Said, were eliminated, which is a polite word for they got blown to bits. Now, Jaish al-Izza is one of the key allies of Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, formerly Jabhat al-Nusra, the Syrian branch of al-Qaeda. They keep changing their names over there as often as they change their underwear. And despite this, corporate media outlets describe it as a moderate opposition group. And at various different times during the year, Jaish al-Izza was receiving support from the U.S., Saudi Arabia, and Turkey. So everybody's still mucking about. Now, interestingly enough, despite talk about pulling out of Syria, that we heard from Donald Trump not too long ago, apparently the Pentagon is shifting weapons from Iraq to Syria. And apparently they rerouted millions of dollars worth of weapons and vehicles from Iraq to Syria in the second half of last year. U.S.-backed forces cornered the last remnants of the Islamic State. And in a series of notifications to Congress reviewed by Al Monitor, the Defense Department said it had determined that a bevy of supplies purchased by the Pentagon for the Iraq military would instead go to the Kurdish-dominated Syrian Democratic Forces. So the stock of equipment includes nearly 50 Humvees, 20 mine-resistant vehicles, 40 enhanced armament carriers, and nearly 700 light anti-tank weapons. The Pentagon also approved the transfer of more than 2,400 mortar rounds, 25 mine rollers, and dozens of charges used to destroy mines and other explosives. So, yeah, it doesn't look like we're getting ready to get out of Syria anytime soon. Now, yesterday we reported on the fact that in Venezuela, the German ambassador was declared persona non grata, supposedly for attempting to interfere in Venezuela's internal affairs, was given 48 hours to leave the country. Now, Juan Guaido, the self-declared interim president of Venezuela, is basically saying this is basically a threat by Maduro to Germany, and basically saying, you know, this is because Germany threw their weight behind Guaido. And Guaido said in an interview with Der Spiegel, Venezuela lives under a dictatorship, and this action represents a threat against Germany, adding that he'd ask the ambassador to stay in the country. Now, that's going to put the ambassador in a very interesting position. It's going to put Maduro in a very interesting position. And again, this is just another scripted U.S. regime change operation. Not going all that well, however. You know, you've got the U.S. and the usual gang of suspects saying, oh, yes, this leader must go so we can send our corporations in there to bleed the place dry and, you know, and enrich ourselves here. But the world has kind of picked up on this. Previously, I mean, you know, back toward the 50s and 60s when the U.S. was doing this to other countries, the American people didn't realize what was going on. Today, it is very different. And that is in large part due to the independent media like Republic Broadcasting. That you're finding out what's really going on out there, or what really happened. Plug, 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 plug. Cheap plug. The repercussions are still bouncing back and forth over the hoaxing of Elliot Abrams by these two Russian pranksters, who Vovan and Lexus. And these guys are famous. They're known for trolling the politicians, and they got Abrams on the phone for over 23 minutes in mid-February and early March, supposedly to talk about Swiss policy towards the situation in Venezuela, during which Elliot Abrams said that unless Venezuela did something really radical like attacking the U.S. embassy, that there was in fact no plan for a direct military intervention of Venezuela. And that was definitely something that they didn't want to get on out, because as Elliot Abrams said, the Venezuelan military are nervous about a U.S. invasion, and we want them to be nervous. So at least as far as he shared with these pranksters, it's a bluff, although there are a lot of U.S. forces in Colombia who could be sent across that border. All right, we're going to do a shout-out now to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining our network. Over in the Congress, Debbie Wasserman Schultz is threatening to kick Bernie Sanders out of the Democratic Party over his refusal to declare that Venezuela's President Maduro is a dictator. And again, Maduro won his election last year. He's voted in by the people in an election that had international observers who said it was fair, honest, and verifiable. But that's the official talking point. Maduro's a dictator. He's a tyrant. He passes wind in the elevators. He files his teeth because he thinks pain is fun. You should hate him and send your children off to kill him for us. Turkey is getting together with Iran for a joint raid against the PKK. And basically, it's because the PKK has resisted Ankara for 3.5 decades. They want their independence. They want an independent Kurdistan. For a while, they had U.S. backing. That's now gone away. But apparently, Turkey and Iran are now going to get together. They're not saying exactly which PKK positions are going to be targeted or when the attack would take place. But apparently, part of the plan was they'll attack militant hideouts inside Iraq. So everybody's fighting everybody over there. Yesterday, we reported on how the United States flew a pair of nuclear-capable B-52 bombers in international airspace, but right close to the border of the Chinese mainland. It's just another way of sticking a finger in their eye. And apparently, a top Philippine general is out there sounding the alarm, saying, you know, you could actually start a war by doing this. If you keep on provoking China, you could trigger a war. And he's absolutely absolutely correct here. It's all about goading. And again, I question the wisdom of these provocations against China at a time when we're trying to get them to sit down at the, you know, trade talks, which apparently are not going very well. Imagine my surprise. Over in Israel, Israeli forces have fired once again at Palestinian protesters during a nighttime protest in the Gaza Strip. They killed a teenage boy on the same night when Israel's warplanes launched fresh airstrikes on Gaza, supposedly targeting Hamas. The 15-year-old boy, identified as Saif al-Din Abu Zeid, was shot dead by the Israeli forces during a protest rally held in eastern Gaza on Wednesday night. And Health Ministry spokesman Ashraf al-Kudra told AFP that the boy died due to the wounds he sustained a few hours ago. Several of the Palestinian youngsters were also injured by live fire. And the shooting came as Israeli warplanes launched fresh air raids on the southern Gaza Strip town of Khan Yunis. Now, two Palestinian children have burned to death in their home in occupied Hebron because the Israeli authorities blocked the fire brigade from reaching them in time. And the two children, one of whom is believed to have been just 18 months old, burned to death in the fire at their home in the Al-Salema neighborhood of Hebron's old city in the occupied West Bank. One was reported dead late last night, while the second succumbed to the burns received this morning after receiving emergency treatment at the nearby Hebron Government Hospital. A third child, thought to be the dead children's brother, also suffered severe burns in the incident, remaining in intensive care. Now, one of the things that you may want to look at, it's on the front page of whatreallyhappened.com. It is the video that was shown to the United Nations to sort of illustrate the UN report on Israel's atrocities against the Palestinian people. And it's simply a compilation of protesters being shot dead, protesters who are not engaged in any violence. They don't present a threat to Israel's forces. And that's the whole point of the argument. When you're just out there shooting protesters who are not a threat to you, that is a war crime. And that UN report, needless to say, is not getting a lot of coverage in the corporate media, other than the usual denunciations that it's anti-Semitic and it's Jew hate, and that nobody would complain about Israel if it weren't for the fact that they hate the Jews, which is like saying nobody would have complained about the Nazis if they didn't hate the Germans here. But there is quite a few people coming on out and saying that Gaza needs more than statements from the United Nations to stop Israeli violence. And they're absolutely right, because Israel has a long track record of simply ignoring resolutions by the General Assembly, which are not actually legally binding. And of course, the Security Council can do nothing as long as the United States is there. So you've got this High Commissioner for Human Rights, and basically, their report found Israel had breached the human rights of Gazans in its response to protests there. And we're coming up on the one-year anniversary of the Great March of Return. So people are saying it's time for something to be done about Israel. Now, Tel Aviv blasted the UN Commission's findings, with Netanyahu saying the council is setting new records for hypocrisy and mendacity out of an obsessive hatred of Israel, the only democracy in the Middle East. Harumph, 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 harumph. Did I mention anti-Semitism? Now, here's a little bit of good news. And this is probably going to send a lot of shockwaves through the political establishment, certainly through Israel's support. And it has to do with this teacher in Wichita, Kansas, and her name is Esther Kuntz. And a couple of years ago, she saw a presentation at her church about Israel's treatment of the Palestinians, and it struck her as unjust, as it does pretty much everybody. Last year, her church passed a resolution urging their parishioners to actively remedy injustice against both Palestinians and Israelis, in part by telling them to avoid the purchase of products associated with acts of violence or policies of military occupation, including the items produced in the settlement. And so this teacher said, yes, she was going to participate in the boycott. Well, around the same time, she decided to complete a Kansas State Department of Education training program that would qualify her to make some extra money by leading professional development sessions for the state's math and science teachers. And after she completed the training, she was scheduled for her first gig. But before she was started, she was contacted by Melissa Fast, the state employee who leads the program, who said that she had to sign this certification verifying that she was not boycotting Israel. And Kuntz explained that she was boycotting Israel. That was a matter of her First Amendment right to freedom of speech. It was something sanctioned by her church. And she went to court. And this week, in Kuntz versus Watson, a federal appeals court issued a ruling that says, yes, these laws saying that you have to sign a pledge not to boycott Israel is unconstitutional. It's a resounding victory. The court flatly declared the First Amendment protects the right to participate in a boycott, and basically chastised the Kansas legislators for passing the law in the first place, and the Kansas educational system for penalizing the teacher for refusing to sign the certification. So that is a tremendous legal victory, and I'm sure it's going to be cited as a precedent as more and more of these cases go to court, because it is an attack on our First Amendment. And I don't know about you, I am angry. I'm furious at our elected representatives, who are supposed to be our representatives, not Israel, who are willing to gut the foundations of our nation, the First Amendment, the Bill of Rights, to please a foreign master. We should be furious about that. We should be absolutely furious about that. Over in Jordan, in the Jordan Valley specifically, Israel has now cut the water supply to 2,600 Palestinians living in communities in Bardala village in the Jordan Valley, the northern occupied West Bank. And basically, Israeli forces cut off water for 60% of the residents of the Bardala village. And the Israeli forces also cut off water supplies for 1,800 to 2,000 dunams, that's about 500 acres, of Palestinian agricultural lands that must be continuously irrigated. And Mutaz Bisharat, who's an official who monitors settlement activity, added that Israel claims the water sources in the area are illegal, and saying, how can they be illegal? Because the water comes from wells inside the village and inside Palestinian lands. This is just another move by Israel to try and drive the Palestinians out so they can take more. Now, as you know, there was a recent tiff between Israel and Poland where Israel basically accused Poland of siding with the Nazis and participating in the Holocaust. And Poland said, no, what you're saying was all done by the Germans and we didn't help them. Well, the situation has now reached a point where there is a World War II era site where Jews were burned alive by Poles. And the Polish government is planning to, first of all, exhume the remains and excavate the site to document the fact that it was the Germans who ordered the Polish villagers to do the killings. And all of a sudden, all the Jewish people in Poland are saying, no, don't take it up. Don't touch it. Don't look. Don't peek. You know, just take our word for it. You know, you Poles helped the Nazis. And all of a sudden, they're in a little bit of a panic that somebody might actually do some archaeology on the scene. Okay, we're going to take a phone call now from Joe in Tennessee. Aloha, Joe. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, I'd first like to say it was nice hearing from Layla yesterday. She really knows her stuff when it comes to Middle Eastern issues.
Yes.
But what I wanted to talk about was I was really disappointed with the meeting Trump had yesterday with all the Apple and the Chamber of Commerce type big business Republicans and corporate executives. I mean, my version of Trump's attraction is populism. And if he goes to this, and what I'm seeing now is he's criticizing socialists and socialism. And I hope he doesn't become the champion of oligarchical capitalism, because that's not why we elected him. And it scares me, because although I don't like the socialist left, I understand the populism of the socialist left. And if Trump walks away from the populism on the right, that's what we're going to get. I'd rather see populism from the right than populism from the left, but we're going to get populism, because the rich, really, and the elite and the oligarchs, and the Federal Reserve, all that, they've really destroyed the middle class in this country. And which way do you want the middle class to go, Mr. Trump? Do you want to go to the socialist middle class populism or right populism?
Okay, well, Joe, stay on the line. We got to take a break here for some commercials, and I'm going to come right back to you after these words from our sponsors.
corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. Here we're talking with Joe in Tennessee, and we're talking about the destruction of the middle class. And that is intentional, because throughout history, it is from the middle class that opposition to oligarchy rises. And because of that, the middle class gets driven down into the lower classes. And one of the reasons for the Soviet Union, the way they set up that system, it was designed to prevent there being a middle class at all, where everybody was equally poor and therefore equally helpless in the face of the Soviet government. And so in answer to your question, ultimately, they're going to want the middle class to dissolve, down to the lower classes.
This country, they don't have gun control in place yet, but they are using like the opioid epidemic and stuff to destroy what used to be middle class white people. Which is very sad to witness.
Well, they're also crushing, wages and salaries are being crushed down. Costs and taxes are going up. We're being squeezed is what it is.
But, I mean, Trump ran as sort of the blue-collar billionaire, and I've noticed for a while there he'd always have a lot of hard hats around in the Oval Office, but I haven't seen any hard hats for a while. And that meeting yesterday really set off alarm bells because they're just basically, Tim Cook of Apple and You know, all these same people that are just outsourcing all our jobs, and, you know, they want more cheap labor to come in from India, and it was just horrifying and just a big slap in your face. I really am a big populist, and I'm a believer. I believed in it. So far, I thought Trump was doing all right, but, you know, I don't know. That was very alarming. But the thing is if he does go this way, he's gonna lose, because there is going to be a choice, because it's going to be populism left or populism right, and I'm hoping it's the right populism, because it's usually more about individual freedom when it comes on the right side, and on the left side, it's also more, you know, America first and nativist, which I don't find a bad thing. But the left will be international globalist populism, more along the line of, so of course, socialism, and less individual rights. And that's my major grief, you know, and worry.
Yes.
And, you know, so Trump doesn't perform the swing to the left, and I think that's why the Democrats are being more lefty than probably politically expedient, is because they think Trump's going to lose, and then they can get their wish list of all the real hardcore lefty stuff that they've been wanting for a long time. There'll be a rebound. The pendulum, you know, it's going to go pretty far left if he doesn't keep it together. And
we were counting on Trump to sort of bring the pendulum back to the right, and it's not happening. That pendulum is still just sort of hovering over there on the left-hand side, and I'm not seeing as much of a correction as I was kind of hoping to see by this stage in Trump's administration. This country is still pretty much, you know, left-wing agenda is in place.
Yeah, no, it's it looks like everything's stalled out, and whether it's the swamp that got him or he was fake from the start, I can't say I'm losing faith, but my ears are up. It's kind of it's getting hard to defend him, and that's the truth.
Yeah, it is. He's a disappointment, and I'm not defending him anymore, and I think he's going to be a one-term president.
Well, like my brother says, if he doesn't get us into a war, then, and he does bring people home from wars, then that would be a great thing anyway. Without all, take all the other baloney away, that is probably, you know, so far he's kind of not accelerated any of these issues, you know.
Well, look what he's doing in Venezuela, you know, and he said he was going to get us out of Syria. That's not happening. He said he was going to get us out of Afghanistan. Well, maybe, but it's going to take years to do. You know, the campaign promise that Americans really most wanted him to keep was to get us out of all these foreign entanglements.
Well, I totally agree with you. So we'll see. I mean, I haven't given up on him yet, but he's really starting to disappoint me. It's almost like it's one after another. So, but
I don't think he's in charge. I think he's a weak leader. I mean, we had that story we ran yesterday where John Bolton is basically arm twisting the president of the United States. You know, and he's basically running U.S. foreign policy. And nobody elected Bolton to run U.S. foreign policy. Basically, as I understand it, Trump put Bolton in that job to repay Sheldon Adelson for Sheldon Adelson's financial support during the 2016 campaign. So I guess it's Sheldon Adelson who thinks all these wars are great. I don't know. He may have a lot of his money invested in defense contractors, you know, because that's a fast buck. You know, buy stock in the weapons companies and then start a war. You make a lot of money real quick. Anyway, listen, Joe, right. Got to let you go. We got to take another break here for commercials, and we'll be back after these few words.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. Very timely bump music here. We're talking about Israel and Palestine. Yesterday, we reported on a story where some Palestinians were literally thrown out of their home so that some settlers could move on in. And the settlers were claiming it was actually their property in their home. And the Israeli government sided with the settlers. It'd be, you know, no surprise here. And according to this article in MiddleEastEye.net, this apparently is now a new thing the settlers are doing, where they're literally coming in to Palestinian homes in the settlements or near the settlements, and they're throwing them out, and they're doing it with forged documents and other mechanisms here, including just outright force. Go on in and say, this is now our house. And so it is continuing here. Now, the argument is still building around the Bab al-Rama. This is a gate at the Al-Aqsa Mosque. Israel closed it in 2003. It was a 16-year closure. It expired last August. But Israel wants to close the gate once again to, quote, keep out protesters as part of its war against terror. Now, in reality, the Muslim holy site is used by Palestinians to pray. And so there is a big argument building over that. And the Islamic Waqf, the body responsible for Muslim holy sites in Jerusalem, they're basically trying to stand up to the government of Israel and say, no, these people are peaceful. And why aren't you keeping the settlers out of the Al-Aqsa Mosque? Because they're coming on in and causing a ruckus, usually escorted by Israeli military. And I think there was another article we talked about over the last couple of days where Israel is now saying they want to Judaize the place. And they've been wanting the Muslim holy sites to go away for a very long time. If they do, if they were to tear down like Al-Aqsa or the Dome of the Rock, I mean, that would just set the entire Mideast aflame right now. Okay. As you know, Trump pulled us out of the P5+1 nuclear deal. The other signatories are not happy with it. They're still going along with the terms of the deal. Iran is still honoring the terms of the deal. It's the U.S. that basically broke the deal and promptly hit Iran with all kinds of new sanctions to get them to come back and modify the deal to include their long-range rockets, which Iran is saying they're not going to do. So the U.S. has sanctioned Iranian oil, and Iran is still trying to sell their oil to nations like China, which is refusing to honor the sanctions. And now Israel is saying that they may interdict Iranian oil tankers in international waters. Israel's position is that Iran selling oil to nations like China without U.S. permission constitutes smuggling, and that potential military attacks on oil tankers in international waters is enforcement of U.S. sanctions. It's not clear that anybody else would consider that to be the case, but that's where Netanyahu is going now, where Israel's Navy is literally going to fire on Iran's civilian oil tankers at sea. Or at least that's what he says they're going to do. Anyway, all of this talk of boycotts and calling attention to what Israel is doing to the Palestinians, it is having an effect. Gallup just did a poll, and it's showing that overall American support for Israel has fallen to a 10-year low. Now, we all grew up, of course, just saturated in pro-Israel propaganda in the schools, on TV, in the movie theaters and everything. But apparently, on this last poll, 59% of Americans say they side with Israel in its conflict with the Palestinians, but that is down from 64% just a year ago. That is a major, major drop. And I think it's very, very significant, and that's probably the reason why Israel is in a panic, and they're trying to get laws passed that say you can't boycott us, you can't criticize us, you can't say bad things about us. So they're hitting the panic button, is my read on the situation. Story out of Sputnik News, it's time for Congress to step up. U.S. lawmakers seek to end U.S. involvement in Yemen. And apparently there's a bipartisan effort in the U.S. Senate to pass a bill that would end Washington's support for the Saudi-led war in Yemen. And Kevin Zeese, co-coordinator for Popular Resistance, says it would be fantastic to see such a bill pass, but beware of loopholes. Because there have been Yemen bills passed in the Senate, also in the House of Representatives, but never together. So maybe they'll get one to pass. But the Yemen war needs to end. It is a disaster. The U.S. should never have gotten involved. And Saudi Arabia needs to be held accountable for the crimes it's committing in Yemen every single day. I agree, as long as you understand that the U.S. involvement is a little bit more dark, if you will, than this gentleman seems to understand. Because several years ago, the United States carried out a successful regime change in Yemen, and the people of Yemen didn't like living under a government that was serving a foreign power any more than we do, or the Iraqis do, or the Syrians almost did. And so they basically kicked the U.S.-backed government out. And that infuriated the United States, because once you are a province of the American Empire, you don't get to leave. And that's when the U.S. and Saudi Arabia got together and went in to just slap Yemen around and get them back in line. And what they're calling the rebels, the Houthis, they're actually the government of Yemen. And they try and hide that fact by saying, well, there's this internationally recognized government, which has no more legitimacy than Juan Guaido down there in Venezuela. It's just, we say this is the government. Forget about the people of Yemen and what they want. Forget about the results of elections. We, the nations around the United States and its allies, we have decided that this is the legitimate government of this country, because they will allow our corporations to come on in and bleed the place dry. Mahi dictum est. Over in Russia, there's been more Russia bashing going on here, and the corporate media in Europe and politicians in Europe are sounding the alarm that Moscow is going to interfere in the European elections. And I guess all of those candidates who fear losing to Eurosceptic populist opponents are getting ready to blame Russia the way Hillary did in 2016, because that's the new political fashion. Anything goes wrong, it's Moscow's fault. Okay, our dishwasher broke down yesterday. Had to be Putin. He snuck in there and he just cut that belt. That's the fashion here. And this article goes on, and it's out of the Express for what that's worth, saying Moscow is believed to have meddled in France's presidential election in 2017 and faced accusations of doing the same in the Brexit referendum. So now they're trying to blame Russia for Brexit. And note the language. They are believed to. They were accused of. Nobody actually has any evidence. And if you look at what happened with the Mueller investigation, you know, accusations and beliefs are cheap things. They're certainly fodder for the corporate media and the propaganda industry, but they're not facts. So Moscow is basically firing back and saying, look, we don't need to meddle in your elections. You know, you're in a mess of your own making. And we've got our own problems here. If you want to look at somebody who meddles in other people's elections, look at Israel here in the United States of America, or the U.S. government in other countries. Like, again, trying to undo last year's Venezuela election by forcing the winner of the presidency, Maduro, out and forcing Juan Guaido in. Yet more anti-Russian hysteria is now screaming that there are hundreds of mercenaries from Russia are now in Libya. And we haven't seen them, but there are rumors. There are rumors. And this is coming out of the British newspaper, The Telegraph. And they're screaming about the presence in Libya of mercenaries from Russia. And the newspaper just went totally wild on the basis of what they themselves admit are merely rumors. So what's getting ready to happen there? And basically the Telegraph is arguing that Russia wants to prevent the West from controlling the flow of Libyan oil that goes to Europe. So once again, another war, and it's all about the oil, where it goes, who pays for it, what currency it's denominated in. All right. Over the Baltic Sea, there's been another close encounter of the dangerous kind. There was a Russian Sukhoi Su-27 fighter. It intercepted a U.S. RC-135 reconnaissance aircraft above the Baltic Sea. And the Russian military released a 17-second video showing the Su-27 fighter coming from behind to intercept the spy plane. And they say, yes, it was over international waters of the Baltic Sea near the Russian border. So they're just playing games up there until somebody makes a mistake. Over in Kashmir, tensions are very high between India and Pakistan. There has been artillery exchanged across the line of control. There was that incident where an Indian submarine was caught entering Pakistan waters, and people are very concerned that there may be a fourth war that will break out between the two countries. And basically, this has been a problem. Over 70 years ago, British colonizers turned Kashmir into this powder keg that have created decades of turmoil, hostility, and conflicts between India and Pakistan. What Kashmir ought to be allowed to do is to have a referendum. Do we want to be part of India? Do we want to be part of Pakistan? Do we want to be our own independent nation? And if India is apparently dead set against there being a referendum, out of concern that it would not go in their favor. Over in France, the Yellow Vest protests are continuing, contrary to that declaration that, oh, following the anti-Semitism, the Yellow Vests are, they're finished, they're done now because of that anti-Semitic attack, which likely was a false flag. And unfortunately, it's now starting to get violent. And they're now describing the protests as being anti-police rather than anti-Macron, anti-EU, anti-immigration. And again, I think the violence is being done by agent provocateurs. But apparently these, again, my suspicion, agent provocateurs set fire to cars and hurled Molotov cocktails from the rooftops in the French city of Grenoble. And this is the fourth consecutive night of unrest sparked by the death of two teenagers in a police chase. And apparently the Yellow Vests are attacking the police with poo bombs, where they will fill balloons with feces and just throw them. And I imagine that's not very comfortable for the police. Okay, we're going to take a phone call. Dustin in New Jersey, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Mike, I was going back a couple weeks. There's this guy called Dr. Parag Khanna. He's like from India. And he said he has a book out. It's called The Asian World Order is Coming. And he talked about the Belt and the Road. And then you see what Trump's doing, like with China, with the tariffs, and now India. Because I saw Erdogan's speech. Did you hear what he says? I'm not going to cancel my order for the S-400. And just to let you know, we're looking into getting the S-500. So there is a definite pivot going on here.
No question about it. Everything that the U.S. government is doing, is actually driving the rest of the world away from us. We're seeing countries that are just saying, yeah, we're going to do business with China and Russia. They're more trustworthy. They're more stable. Other countries looking at the United States, they can see the chaos. They can see all the chaos that's going on, on the floor of Congress and in our city streets. You know, they're looking at all the transgender brouhaha and thinking we've all gone collectively insane.
Yeah, I mean, you see, like, Nadler, they're just regurgitating, like, stuff that's already passed because it's all BS. But, Mike, like I said, there's no talk about no infrastructure rebuilding. There's no talk about anything. It's just a rotting corpse. I'm sad to say the country is rotting away, and these people are playing political games. And I don't see anything, like, to change that because, I don't know, do you see what Trump, he said that we're going to pull the troops out of Syria, and then we're not. We're going to again now. He's not again. He signed something that says we're not going to. I mean, I don't know, man. It's just screwy. I mean, it just looks like it's a third world. It's worse than a third world banana republic. These people just have no clue, and they're all infighting, and I don't think it's going to end very, very well.
I still see the most likely outcome is a Soviet Union style collapse of this country, and everybody needs to be getting ready to get through that transition. Hopefully there won't be a lot of violence. But the most important thing to do is to basically say those career politicians who wrecked the country are not to be allowed back into public life under any circumstances.
And I bet you guys, they have planes waiting just like poor Poroshenko has in Ukraine when he gets kicked out and one of the other two come in. They're going to be targeting Poroshenko, so he's going to have to make a real quick getaway.
He's not going to win his next election. He's just so far behind in the polls there. And I imagine that probably a lot of these deep state people like the Clintons, they've already moved much of their hidden fortunes offshore, and they have plans. To do a bug out. because it's a very, very unsettled situation here in this country.
And Mike, one quick thing before I get off the line. It wasn't just Brexit. Remember, they blamed Russia for the yellow vest, too. So they're blaming.
Yeah. You know, whatever goes wrong, you know, my laptop hard drive died, had to be Russia. That's the fashion right now.
And then they'll blame the people, too, because they did that already, right? They blame the people, you're anti-Semite or you're anti, you know. But, Mike, have a good rest of the show.
All right, thanks an awful lot. We're going to let you go, and the phone lines are open, and we're coming up on another commercial break. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. We've got another caller on the line, Sebastian in Sweden. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yes, hi, Mike. I was just going to want to ask you about the Middle East. Every time I listen to your program, you always bring depressing news about all the Palestinians being killed. And it's really, you know, it's really bad.
It is bad.
I like the fact that you, I know, And this thing with boycotting Israel, I've been doing it since 1973. I never buy any products. My ex-wives, I talked them into doing it, and they still don't buy any Israeli products, like, you know, like SodaStream, fruits, and go at Starbucks, because they support the illegal settlements. If anyone knows that, Starbucks. So you should go buy your coffee other places. And I went to school to Swedish, to learn Swedish with a Palestinian, and he turned out pretty good. You know, he had his own business, and we lost contact. But, you know, they're good people. I haven't, I think it's a shame what Israel's doing, and no one's, the world is just standing by, just letting it happen, including Sweden. They don't say anything either. Mostly European countries, I think Israel has them in their little wing.
Yeah, I mean, it's not just the United States that's you know, been subverted by Israel supporters. It's happening, you know, over a large part of the Western world.
Yeah, I know. It's a bad situation. Hopefully it will get better, but it doesn't look. It doesn't look, you know, it doesn't look very good in the future, put it that way.
No, it really doesn't. It seems like, and I'm sorry to be always reporting depressing news. I try and find good things to report on, like the achievements in space and everything, which we'll get to in the third hour.
But
the news out
that.
There is depressing, and I got to tell you, it gets really depressing doing the show.
Yeah, of course. I don't mean that. I mean not your program, but I mean just, you know, everything about the Middle East is like, you know, it's terrible. I mean, it's a terrible situation that they're in now. It must be the largest, like you said once, the largest outside prison or, you know, prison camp in the world.
Yes.
Personally, I think they treat the Palestinians worse than the Nazis treated the Jews in the Second World War.
I think in many ways you're
opinion.
Right. Certainly to go from the Red Cross reports. I mean, first of all, the Red Cross had permanent offices in all those slave labor camps. And the Germans actually took good care of the inmates because those inmates were making material supplies for the German army. There were some camp commanders who actually got in trouble for not keeping their inmates healthy. But, of course, most of us think of the Holocaust as what TV and movies have spun for us, and it's a complete fiction. It's just a total fiction for political gain. And as more and more people are saying, this doesn't really make any sense. Again, Israel has hit the panic button. You know, they absolutely want to shut down discussion of anything involving Israel and Palestine right now. Anyway, listen, Sebastian, got to let you go. Got to take a break for station identification. Got another caller on the line, and we'll be right back.
Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective, and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening